We're up to Perek Vav Pasuk Yud. The prophet Hosea is speaking to the people at the end of the first temple, towards the end of the first temple. He is discussing how the people are sinning, their leaders are sinning, there's corruption, and the prophet had been telling the Jewish people here what we have been seeing is the prophet had been speaking about the false prophets and how God keeps asking the people to repent and the people refuse. And God sent his prophets to warn the people that there was destruction looming, and the people aren't interested. The people think they can just bring sacrifices and appease God, as though God were one of the pagan gods. They could live an immoral life, just bring sacrifices. And God says, I'm not interested in your sacrifices, I'm interested in your behavior. God says, you've gone against our covenant, you've rebelled against me. The city of Gilead, the prophet says, is filled with blood. Wherever you go, people have been murdering. We know that Gilead was territory where our sages say, traditionally, the territory of Gilead was steeped with blood, with murder. And the people, the prophet says, they would unite and get together in bands. Even the Kohanim, they'd get ready to loot one another, and their time was spent plotting how to murder and get away with it. We said that this description of the people as being groups of bands, terrorists, this description is where the prophet is really speaking in metaphorical terms. The prophet means because they're sinning, because they're going their pagan ways, and that will lead to the ultimate destruction and death of hundreds of thousands of Jews. So it's as though they're bands of murderers, because they're causing the death of so many Jews in their sinful ways. And now we're up to Pasuk Yud, Perek Vav Pasuk Yud.
Like, because it was cause of destruction of the temple.
Yes, even though right now he's speaking to the northern 10 tribes. Technically he's not talking about the destruction of the temple, he's talking about the exile and destruction of the 10 northern tribes. We discussed previous times that this was worse than the Holocaust. The 10 northern tribes, you're talking about millions and millions of Jews that were lost. We according to one opinion among our sages, those 10 tribes aren't coming back. So we have some people from each of those tribes, but the majority of people, the northern 10 tribes, are lost.
So maybe Chinese and Japanese, it's our tribe.
Who knows? It doesn't matter. They're lost. That doesn't make them Jewish. Our sages say they went, they intermarried, they got lost. They were exiled, and millions of Jews disappeared. That's a machloket. Machloket, Rabbi Akiva, and other Tanoim, that's exactly the discussion. Are they ever coming back? And one opinion says no. So what the prophet is saying is there's a destruction looming, and if we could imagine it, he's talking about a destruction that's even greater than the Holocaust. You're talking about the majority of the Jewish people being wiped out. Some physically, some spiritually, but gone. So, yeah?
And what time was this? Like, what year roughly was Hosea speaking?
So let's see. He's talking about the period of the end of the first temple. So we always draw timelines. Everyone here has been here, so they've seen it, I hope, numerous times. I usually like to begin the semester with creation. So we say creation is year one. Let's 10 generations from creation to Noah, 10 generations from Noah to Avram. Avram had a son, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Yaakov had 12 children, one of which was Levi. Levi had a daughter named Yocheved, a grandson named Amram. Amram had a son named Moshe. Moshe then took out the Jews from Egypt in the year 2448. Okay, so that's a starting point. The Jewish people leave Egypt in the year 2448. Avram, 1948. Now, Abraham had, so in the year 2448, the Jews leave Egypt.
Born in 1948?
Well, let's do the math. If Abraham,
I
want you to answer that question. If the Jews left Egypt at 2448, and that was 400 years after God gave Avram the prophecy, in which God said, you should know that your children will be strangers in a foreign land. So 2448 minus 400 years is 2048. In the year 2048, Avram saw that prophecy, or Avram had the beginning of the fulfillment of that prophecy when he had Yitzchak. Avram had Yitzchak when he was 100 years old. So I want you to figure out how we get to this 2448. So the connection between the numbers is as follows. We know that the 400 years, the count, began when Yitzchak was born. So Yitzchak was born in the year 2048. And we know that the Torah says that Yitzchak was born when Avram was 100 years old. So when was Avram born? 1948. Okay? 1948, Avram was born. 2048, he had Yitzchak. 400 years later, we left Egypt, the year 2448. 40 years in the desert, okay? We have another few hundred years till we build the temple. In the building of the temple, we have a marker where the Navi says in Melachim how many years it was since we left Egypt. Yeah? You guys know what I'm talking about? Let's say that Sefer Melachim.
Same Tana.
You have a Tana?
Yeah, I brought three. It's one, two, at the back.
You need this.
No, I just put a marker.
So Abraham was born in 1948. He had Yitzchak when he was 100, 2048, and then 400 years later, he would be in Egypt before he
comes. Yeah. Good morning. Could you pass him back the cake? There's coffee, there's milk, there's there's tea. There's chocolate milk out there.
Also not today.
And what's referred to as the sixth chapter, the first pasuk, it says it was 480 years since the Jews left Egypt. 484 years when Solomon built the temple. So if we left Egypt in the year 2448, 484 years later, so we're dealing with 2928, right? No, 2448 plus 480 is 2928. If it's on 2928 or 2932 is when it was begun. Okay, so that's approximately when the temple began. Here we're talking about approximately 200 years after the temple was begun. So we're talking about the year 3100 approximately. 3100. If you want, you could look in the back of your art scroll Tanakh, they show you a timeline. But now you know where the major dates. So you could gauge yourself. You have this is a major marker, the beginning of the building of the temple, where it says Shlomo began in Melachim Aleph, the sixth chapter, and the fact that 2448 was when we left Egypt. So those are the big markers in Jewish history when you want to gauge where things when things happen. Okay, so Hoshea is speaking to the people towards the end of the first temple, and we're up to Pasuk Yud. Bevet Yisrael ra'iti sha'ariya, or the way we read it, this is a creative, is sha'aruriya sham zinut le'Ephraim nitma Yisrael. In the house of Israel I saw sha'aruriya, I saw a disgraceful thing, sham, over there. In the house of Israel, what I've witnessed is zinut le'Ephraim, that Ephraim has been unfaithful. They go after their golden calves, and over there nitma Yisrael, everyone went after the golden calves. If you recall, when the kingdom was divided, Yeravam ben Nevat led the Jewish people astray. He was scared that if the Jews will remain faithful to the temple, to God, then they'll return to the southern kingdom of Judea. They have to go there to bring their sacrifices, so the Judean kings might tell them, you want to come give your sacrifices, you have to be my subject. To ensure he maintained the throne, he switched around the calendar, he erected two golden calves, and he convinced the Jewish people to start going in pagan ways. And he led us downhill. It all began with Yeravam ben Nevat. He's the prototypical, he's the epitome of a choteu machti, someone who sinned and caused others to sin. Pasuk Yudalef, Gam Yehuda shat katzi olach b'shuvi shevut ami. It's not enough that you, Israel, sinned, but Yehuda too, they also harvested, and they also added their sins. They so to speak, learned from you. God is saying, I wanted to have compassion over you, but I can't, because you've left behind the remnants of your sin. Remember, the northern tribes sinned. They started serving idols. God kept telling them to stop. Hundreds of years, God is telling them, stop going your pagan ways. They don't listen. God starts cutting off sections of the land of Israel. First the tribes on the eastern side of the Jordan, then the northern tribes, until finally all of the 10 tribes are exiled. And now God says, I want you to know, Bishuvi Shivut Ami, when I was contemplating bringing you back, I had exiled the 10 tribes, but I had a problem. Your evil deeds had already borne new fruits. You still had your evil deeds testifying against you, because Gam Yehuda Shat Katzilah. Yehuda, the southern tribes that had not been exiled, they too were harvesting your bad deeds. They had learned from you. They continued your pagan ways. So after I exiled the northern tribes and I was contemplating bringing them back, at that point, I couldn't, because I kept having, before my eyes, I kept seeing the southern tribes continuing in your ways. So your sins bore new fruit, and as such, I couldn't, so to speak, find it within myself to forgive you and bring you back. When I wanted to heal Israel, to bring you back, after I exiled the northern 10 tribes, v'nigla avo Ephraim v'raot shomeron hifalo shaker. Then it was revealed the sin of Israel, the evil deeds of Shomron, which was the capital of the northern 10 tribes. Their deceitful ways, kifalu shakel, because they acted in deceitful ways, shekel, lies. Veganav yavo pashat gedud bachutz. One would steal because of his evil heart. He'd declothe the people outside, and he had nothing to fear, because everyone was sinful, the way the prophet described earlier. V'ganav yavo, when a thief would come, ordinarily the word ganav in Hebrew is a thief that steals in hiding. In Hebrew we have different terms for a thief. Ganav is one that does it in hiding. Gazlan is one that comes overtly and takes something. Listim is someone that comes with a group of bands, with weapons. There are different forms of thievery. V'ganav yavo, when the thief ordinarily steals in the night in hiding, when he comes, Pashat gedud bachutz. He could go outside in front of everyone and declothe a group of men, because he had nothing to fear. There was no justice in the north. So God says, Kirofili Israel, when I wanted to heal Israel, v'nigla, then it was revealed before me, so to speak, the testimony came before me, Avon Ephraim, all the sins of Ephraim, v'ra'ot Shomron, and the evil ways of Shomron, the capital of Ephraim, kifalu shakel, because their actions were deceitful. So even the thief could go in broad daylight and steal, and he had nothing to worry about. God says, even after I exiled you, I wanted to heal you, I wanted to bring you back, but your sins kept testifying before me, your evil ways, I couldn't. Uval yomeru lilvavam kol ratam zacharti. They shouldn't say, they don't think to themselves, Ah, you know, God really keeps an accounting of what we did wrong. Ata sevavum malileihem neged panai hayu. But the truth is that when they'll need my compassion, then their evil deeds will surround them, and I will have them as testimony before me, and I won't be able to forgive them. They don't say in their hearts, Kol ra'atam zachati, God keeps an accounting of what I did wrong. Very often we come to Rosh Hashanah and we think, what did I do wrong? So we think back to the last few days. We say, okay, I got to work on that. And we forget what happened all year long. That doesn't matter to us. It's wrong. Hashem says, people say, the northern 10 tribes don't tell themselves, well, God maintains an accounting of what we did wrong.
But sometimes some memory is for years, and the man can suffer more. He wants to forget, but he can.
Yeah.
As for me also, some of my bad deeds I remember from my childhood. It's even now, it's unpleasant and difficult for me.
We discussed that you weren't here. We discussed yesterday in the morning that part of tshuva is looking forward positively, not letting the past drag us down, looking forward to a brighter future. But part of it is also recognizing what we have to do better in the future.
Yeah. For example, I remember when I was a child, I was like in anger, and it was like an avenge. I took some dirty. Soil and put in the back of another my friend, my voice, and make dirty his shirt. And even now, I remember this. I don't know. It's important.
It's interesting because in Halacha it says it's a good thing for a person to do tshuva over what he did as a child, but a person has to know that he is not held accountable for it. What we did before Bar Mitzvah, we're not held accountable for it. So you don't have to worry about it when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. We'll do one more pasuk. In their evil deeds, they make their king happy. He's happy with the way they're going. So if they're cheating other people to make money, he's happy with that. And in their deceitful ways, they make their officers happy, their politicians happy. Hashem says, the whole system is rotten. And so Hashem says, when I'll exile them, I'll want to forgive them, but then all of this will come testifying before me, and I won't be able to forgive them. And I always find this to be a more powerful way of warning someone. We read Lamentations on Tisha B'Av. Eicha. Eicha is a description of how the Jewish people were exiled, all of Jerusalem was destroyed, women ate their children, terrible things. It's all a prophecy, it didn't happen yet. Jeremiah is standing decades before the destruction and saying, how is it that Jerusalem is so destroyed? We read Eicha, we read it in the past tense. It was written in the past tense. But we have to remember that the book of Eicha was written well before the destruction, but it moved the people. When you describe something as an event that happened, so then it's far more moving than the warning, you know, it's going to happen. And I think that that's what the Navi's doing now. He's saying, you know, he began by warning, and now he's saying, and you know, after you'll be exiled, God will want to forgive, but he won't be able to. God will say, I wish I could, but look at all their ways. I can't forgive that.
When he said this, was it...
It didn't happen yet. Hosea is long before the exile.
So did they have a chance still?
They still had a chance, sure. That's why the prophets told them to them. They had a chance to do tshuva. That was the purpose of the prophecy. Now, we begin usually every time we learn prophets. We'll discuss this at greater length in our Sunday class. Our sages teach us that every prophet that's recorded in the books of prophecy has a message for every generation. That's why these prophets were recorded. We had over 1 million prophets in our history. We have no record of what they said because what they said isn't pertinent to us today. So when we learn these prophets, and we'll discuss this at greater length on Sunday's class, we have to know there's a message for us as well. This isn't just history. It's not history at all. It happens to be. It was in the past, but the purpose of the book is not history.